what's up? Turn the page. It's gonna be a really good interview I'm about to do with Virtuous Diva. I strongly suggest you guys tune into this. I'm trying to write. I got you, Virtuous. I'm trying to write your.
Take your time.
Your Instagram in the comment. Yeah, it's gonna be a good interview, y'all. A lot of information. I'm gonna really go in detail in this interview. I feel really good about this interview. The sister has really good information. So this is boom.
We on live.
Yeah, we on
live. Y'all watch out, cause we on live. I feel kind of slow a little bit. I mean, I'm smart, but I feel a little bit slow. Just a little bit. Don't count it. But anyways, I am so thrilled to have this young man in my presence. Because you got good energy. You got real, real good energy, which I like. You know, from where you are, I don't know where you are, but you got real good energy. And I've been jamming to this damn song.
This is what's up.
I want y'all to listen to this. I'm going to keep recording. I usually don't do a lot of rap, but I like this. I like this. It's got a good groove to it.
Yeah. Yeah. All the music I record, I always put a message, a positive message in it.
Absolutely.
And I always try my best to. Sometimes you gotta put sugar in the medicine.
Yeah.
Right, so you know that song in particular, you know, that is about just overcoming challenges, being self-reliant, and doing it on your own. Mm-hmm. Because early on, life for me was really hard. Mm-hmm. You know, having a not having a relationship with my family, having a drug addicted mother, not having a father around, I had to learn early on how to be self-reliant. Mm-hmm. And how to depend on myself.
Right.
And how to have faith in God. Mm-hmm. Because when you're 5 years old, stealing food out of a supermarket just to eat, and you're not old enough to really fend for yourself, you cry out.
Right.
You know, you cry out, and you're asking God for help.
Right.
So early in my life, I learned to develop a close relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and all my music, anytime I do music, anytime I do an interview, I always talk about the importance of having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of looking in the mirror and not looking out the window.
Absolutely.
Right? Like looking at self. And I remember one time, you know, being a kid, not eating for a week, so hungry, I would draw food on pieces of paper and try to eat the paper.
Wow.
You know? And I learned early on the power of the mind, the power of creativity. See, that was me refusing to accept my circumstance.
Right, right.
So a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't understand, like, what do you mean you drew food on a piece of paper?
Right.
That was my early ability to manifest things on my own.
Mm.
Not allowing the hunger to supersede my ability to think and want to create opportunity for myself. So that was very powerful.
Right.
And as I grew into a young man, I always remember that moment. I never forget it. I can never forget it. I never forget it. And I was in a project one day, and I drew a turkey on a piece of paper, and I colored it brown with a crayon, and I ripped that piece out, and I ate it, you know? And it was crazy, man, because my mother wasn't feeding me.
Wow.
And she would leave me in apartments by myself, and I remember crying, and I remember I had, like, a toy phone, right? And I picked up the toy phone, and I was trying to call my grandmother, right? I was trying to call my grandmother for help, and I was crying, and I was so angry because I couldn't remember the number.
Wow.
You know, I couldn't remember her number. The phone wasn't even real, by the way. I couldn't even remember her number. So, you know, man, all my music, even with me going into boxing, because I'm having a professional fight this year. Right. I'm getting into boxing as well. My life, I want my life to be proof that one, God is real, mm-hmm. and two, you don't ever have to compromise or settle.
Right.
And don't set your goals, you know, don't set your goals low. Always set your goals high.
Let me ask you this question, you know, because you look at the word ambition, you see your face. You know, that you look in the dictionary, you open the book, you see ambition, you see your face. You know, and I think with that being said, because it takes heart to tell your story. It take ambition to let other people know what your struggle was, but the ambition gave you foundation to where you are right now, which is amazing. You know,
yes.
Like I said, I've listened to your music and I've understood your lyrics. I want to ask this question just in general. Based on where you were and how things transformed over life, what gave you that to when it came to music? Like what gave you that, ooh, I like this? Like, what gravitated you towards that?
I mean, music is self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember one time, my grandmother, it's a long time ago, my grandmother, I was about 5 or 6 years old. My grandmother, she got really sick. She had got pneumonia. She was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. They had tubes down there, and she couldn't talk. And I thought I never was going to see my grandmother again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I wrote my grandmother a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she got better. She got out of the hospital. And my grandmother doesn't even remember this, but she told me that my poem had made her get better.
Wow.
So I felt I had powers, right? I had powers, you know, with writing. And then I just kept writing, and eventually it progressed into writing more poems and then rhyming and, you know, stuff like that. But for the most part, I think it was just that thing with my grandmother and then having expression. Because writing music, when you don't have a therapist, it gives you an outlet.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? And I was able to express myself in song, and I was able to deal with my demons, right? Mm. Get them out of my mind, out of my spirit, and get them onto a piece of paper.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that was something, you know, that was something, like even with my song, I wrote a song called Motherless Child,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was, and you know, the lyrics go something like this. You know, no support from my mother. Sometimes I wish I would have came from a different pussy. C-section. Even in birth, she didn't push me.
Wow.
C-section. Even in birth, she didn't. Every other week, you got a new man in the house. You got the nerve to point to him like he the man in the house. And they all wanted me to call him dad. They all, I promise you, wanted me to call him dad. So I grew up confused. And I got beat until I was black and blue. So you wonder why I'm in school acting a fool? I'm cutting class, picking fights. I couldn't follow the rules. You know, free lunch won't cut it. I'm still hungry. I need food. So I hooked up with Daryl. Selling weed now, mama. I'm making moves. Yeah, mama. I'm making moves. But you put a pinch woman out. Left me in the system. Plus, you ain't called back. That ain't love. What you call that? And if you ain't want a son, mama, shit. You should have left me in that ball sack. Two sides to the story. I know, but I ain't having it. Too many demons inside. I got to battle with. Fuck whoever trying to play devil's advocate. Because y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand. Y'all couldn't possibly understand how real this is. I was just a kid. I was only 5. Had to look my mama in the eyes, half sleep, half high. And you wonder why I'm outside, smoking weed, pistols in my pocket, doing up gang signs. You a junkie, mama? How you gonna demand respect? I guess you beat me because I look like the man that left. A spitting image of my daddy. That's why you slapped me? Can none please you? You ain't never happy. Straight A's on report cards getting ripped. Christmas, birthdays, I ain't get shit. Every man I see you with call you bitch. And this is what I deal with? Man, yeah, this is what I deal with. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. And it feels like God cursed me and my brothers because all I do is suffer. And the pain came from my mother. A rose, a rose, a rose. empty bottles of liquor, crack valves on the same bed I slept on. How the fuck could I sleep on? You got me laying on the bed I could barely even sleep on. Bottles on the floor, roses on the wall. I'm looking at the sky like, don't I deserve more? God gave me the talent. All I wanted was love. My father wanted the fuck, and my mother thought it was love. I mean, so, that, you know, that was my life. That was my life, you know, that was my story. That's my story, that's my testimony. That's not a rap, that's not a rhyme. That's a memory, that's a painful memory that I had to live. And writing it gave me a way to cope.
Right.
You know, I can get those memories out of my head and put it on a piece of paper.
Right.
Right? And I can distance myself from the pain,
right,
but move closer to the comprehension and understanding of what that was. You know, even Jesus came from Immaculate Conception. So when you say you look at me and I'm the face of ambition, you know, God puts people through pain for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to realize that my life, the pain served a purpose. And as I grow into a man, you know, and I become more successful, My it's meant for me to help younger brothers and sisters and kids, black kids growing up in the ghetto, dealing with these issues.
Right.
And it's also up to me to inform mothers how important protecting their children.
Absolutely.
Is, you know.
So, I wanna ask you this question, because I know you mentioned you know how you grew up and you know that part of your life. How are things with your, I know this is personal, how are things with you and your family now?
There's no relationship. So, you know, there's no relationship. You know, I come from a very dysfunctional family, and there's been a lot of, conditioning. There's been a lot of, my great-grandmother had two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother and her sister, right? So my great-grandmother treated my grandmother's sister better than her. So they grew up at odds, right? My great-grandmother put my grandmother and her sister against each other. So when my grandmother had daughters, right, she reenacted the same situation that happened to her. She kept the cycle
going
and perpetuating, right? And so she treated my aunt better than my mother, and then my mother took it really hard, got addicted to drugs, became a manic depressant, you know, was confused about her sexuality. She was going, my mother was going through so much, and so she had got pregnant by my father, and my father, he didn't want nothing to do with me or her. And he had remarried another lady. Her name was Cupcake, right? And
Cupcake.
Right. He had a new family with her, and my mother showed up to his wedding with me in her arms, and he dismissed both of us.
Wow.
And my mother took it really hard, and she started to abuse me. Right. Very shortly after that. Because she felt like if she could hurt me, she'd be hurting my father. So I grew up, sorry, I'll do this interview. Yeah, so I grew up, you know, with basically abandonment issues, right? And I got heavy in the streets. I started selling drugs. I started carrying, you know, guns and doing, just a lot of street stuff. And I ended up in prison. And when I went to prison, you know, it was like I have arrived, right? It was like, you know, I wanted to be some type of a gangster. I thought I was just the toughest guy. And I go to prison, and I realized, like, listen, the highest level of gangster is Southport box or a coffin.
Right.
And I didn't die. I made it to Southport box. you know, Sante can find me. That's the jealous side of it. So I'm sitting, you know, and I cut a guy. So I'm sitting in the hole for 7 months. And I'm sitting in the hole, you know, the bathroom, I mean, the toilet is at your head, right? The shower's at your feet. That's how small the cell is, right? You take showers once a week. And then I get in trouble in the box, right?
Goodness.
So they put me on a loaf. So the loaf is when they only feed you cabbage and bread. They give you one loaf of bread for the week and 4 cabbages. So, you know, that's their punishment. So they try to, you know, it's crazy. So I'm sitting there and I'm going crazy, right? I'm just going crazy. And man, I made a decision, to give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surrender.
The devil, at that point, the devil had won. He had beat me. I said to myself, when I get out of here, fuck it. Soon as I get out the hole, I'm going to stab somebody to death, and I'm never leaving prison. I didn't even care. My mind,
Your mind was gone.
Mind was gone. And I was just in a very dark place. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I was angry. I felt like all the demons that I worked so hard to suppress, they finally caught up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember crying for 3 days. I cried for 3 days. And I laid in that cell all alone, butt naked. See you later, huh? Sound like a mop? Alright. So I laid in a cell, butt naked for 3 days, right? Just crying. I'm sitting there, I'm like this. I feel dead.
Right.
And then I remember God. I can't forget this. That's why I said I know God is real. Because I felt like I had air put back into my lungs. Like I felt like.
You took that deep breath. Yeah.
No, God was putting breath into me.
Right.
Putting life back into me.
Oh, yeah, because you was laid out. Okay.
I didn't want to move. You know, I just stopped moving. I was dead. And people say, and people tell stories like this, and they be lying. I'm telling you the truth. I had a very spiritual, it was like a miracle. It was something that, you know, you see these things in movies. You know, God shows you signs. Oh, man. You know, it's real. You know, God.
He work in mysterious ways, that's why.
Yeah, you know.
It's only God that performs things that get you to open up and realize there is a God. That you realize that you ain't in it by yourself. You think you in it by yourself, but he'll wake you up real quick. Make you realize some things.
Yeah, you know, so I laid there, man. I was dead. And, man, God, you know, God gave me a second chance. And he made me realize that everything I went through, everything I was going through, it served a purpose. And I got to keep going. And I got to pick myself up. And even though nobody's there to pick me up.
Right.
You know, nobody was there. And I just had God. And I can hear a voice telling me, you know, just get up.
Wow.
You know, just get up. Just get up. Just get up. Just get up. And I got up. You know, and I began to lift weights, I began to train, I began to study, I began to read, you know, books on psychology, business, marketing, you name it.
Wow.
And, you know, because I got an 8th grade education.
Wow.
The furthest I went is 8th grade. I got a GED in prison. So, you know, I learned Shakespeare. I learned Oedipus Rex. I learned Socrates. I could recite Hamlet like the back of my hand.
My God.
God really touched me.
Right.
And, you know, when I came out of prison, I evolved.
Right.
I evolved. And in my family, you know, at the time, I wanted to make amends, and I wanted my family to come together, and I just couldn't do it. And when my grandfather died of cancer, my grandfather told me, he said, I want you to bring the family together, no matter what. Promise me that. I want you to bring the family together, and it'll happen when it's time. It'll happen when it's time. So I have to be patient, and I know my success is going to be one of the things that brings my family together. So that's why I go so hard. That's why, you know, I'm so motivated. That's why I'm coming into the game of boxing. This is why I've been doing music, doing Clover Lines, doing everything in my power to become successful, to break the cycle of not having love in my family.
Right.
You know? Yeah, but, you know,
I'm it's God is always, like I said, God is definitely have been in the blessing business, because you know you know because you're speaking to me as you're telling your story, and I promise you, you're giving me chills like all over my body, because I'm like, he don't even realize what he's doing, he just transferred something. But I realized that without that struggle, forgiveness, that's your next step.
Yes.
You're the reason why, when I said the word ambition, is because you don't quit. There's no such thing.
No.
In order for God to get you where you really gonna be, see, this forgiveness have to take place.
Right.
But with you, with the forgiveness, I just, you know, like I said, without that struggle, you know, people look at you and be like, you know, she ain't been through nothing. She don't look like he ain't been through nothing, you know, and you don't know. But that's why I'm so gravitated.
That's God, though. That's God. You know, that's God. That's not us.
Right.
See, a lot of times we take that for granted. I know I did a lot of times where we think we're invincible, we're strong. No, that's God. When you go through hell and you ain't got a scratch on your face.
Yeah, that's God.
When you fight demons, monsters, and werewolves, and you ain't, that's God. That's the protection. That's the angels around you.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
You know, so that's God. That's God showing. That's God showing.
Right.
Showing that he has the ability to heal, protect, bring things into existence that wasn't in existence.
Right.
This is not me. I'm God's creation.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm God's creation. So when you look at me, and unless I tell you my story, you don't see that.
You don't see it.
Because God protected me. God preserved me.
Won't he do it?
So now when people look at me, they go, "Wow, man, you went through that? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And you turned out like that? Yes, I did.
Yep.
That's God. That's a miracle."
But he gotta use somebody. He gotta use somebody.
That should make us believe more in God.
Right.
Because we're not designed to be worshipped.
Okay? Right.
We are designed to worship.
Right.
It's not about being famous. I don't tell my story to try to get credit or come across cool. I tell my story because God, it's about God. All praise is for God.
Right.
Not for me, not for Michael Jordan, not for Jay-Z, not for Floyd Mayweather, not for 50 Cent, not for Beyonce, not for none of that. It all goes to God.
Right.
God takes away and he gives.
Right.
Okay? God takes away and he gives. And when God is trying to give you something, can't nobody take that from you.
That's
and when God is trying to create something, and when God is creating something, right? It not only is for a purpose, but that purpose serves God's agenda. Mm-hmm. So I had to realize, like, wow, okay, yes. And when I feel overwhelmed, I think about what I overcame. Mm-hmm. And I only overcame it with the help of God. So I know God is real. I know God is real. I know heaven is real. I know things are going to get better. I know I'm going to be happy. I know I'm going to be loved and give love. I know my family is going to come together. Because I'm not going to rest. And I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop asking God for it. And the devil is not more powerful than God. I saw demons as a child.
Man.
I saw demons. You know what it's like? Listen, man, I've seen things most people, they only see in movies. I've seen it, and God has blessed me with the sight to see these things, to let me know that He is the most powerful.
Wow.
So the devil don't own me. I don't even own me. God owns me. So I won't be defeated. I won't be defeated. And once we understand how powerful and how much God loves us, our life will be better, and we can go through anything.
Anything,
and smile. And be strong and survive because God is always with us.
I'm too legit to quit. I don't even know what to say. You are something powerful, and I'm just in awe, and I want to be around to see what God does next in your life. You know, I want to be in the midst of saying, you know what. I knew that brother right there. We had a conversation. He was on point. He hit everything on the net. You preaching better than I'm saying amen. You have no idea. If I tell you, you'll be in tears again. But I just want to say, job well done. You know, I am in awe of black men in general who put forth the effort. Who put forth the time, regardless, but you putting forth the heart, which makes it all the better. Regardless of what done happened, what done you done went through, you still putting forth the heart. So God is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. So what more, you like you said earlier, what more could you ask for? You know, and I just, you know, I'm so thankful because, like I said, I know you, like I said, you're doing your music, you're doing your boxing, you're full of all these gifts and talents. Is there anything else you're working on just in general you want the public to know about?
Yeah, definitely. I want to build a school. Like, I really want to build a school, right? And you see, like, it's a lot that I want to accomplish, and it's a lot that I believe I'm going to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to build schools, right? And I want to have at least 50 schools, wow. right? So that way we can have every school in every state in the U.S. Because I believe that, you know, knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
And if we teach black children how powerful they really are.
At an early age. Yes, sir.
And we create a curriculum that is conducive to bringing out that potential, then the change will not have any limit. Now, a child's learning curve is from 0 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
So systematic racism creates a curriculum that will put black children behind in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because there should be a class about credit. There should be a class about how to grow food.
Right.
There should be classes about self-defense.
Right.
There should be classes about internships. There should be classes about having
life skills,
sex, life skills, yeah. domestication. So, like, all these things, but we don't have these things.
Right.
We have gym, you know. And if we have schools ran by black people who are educated, who care about black people, then we can change our circumstances within a 5-year span.
Right.
I want to be a part of the movement that creates institutions to change black people's lives in America.
Amen.
And still be alive to do it. And the key, and let me tell you something, the key to doing that is having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And God says this, I will give you, if you can't, put like this, you cannot, if you want things to change, then you change them.
Right.
God gave us free will, and we cannot build our houses in the backyards of people who don't have our best interests at heart.
Of course.
Okay? So we have to have ownership, control, and equity. Okay? And we have to have a strong relationship with God. Because when we have a strong relationship with God, we're not asking man what we should be asking God for. And when we learn to ask God for things that we want, like our freedom, like our revolution, like our upliftment, then they will be given. Ask and it shall be given. The problem is we have been conditioned to ask the wrong person.
Of course.
Okay? And then we have to have a relationship. You know, in these schools, I want to create a border. Each school, I want to have a boarding system in each school where we bring kids from Africa to teach them in here, and then we have the kids go to Africa to learn over here because
we don't learn enough.
Jews are only in power because they have left the land of their Holocaust. Okay? You cannot build a revolution in the home of your Holocaust. America is our Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Jewish people are not thriving where their Holocaust originated.
They're thriving in another place.
They had to leave.
Yeah.
They had to leave. You understand?
Right.
So if you look at where the concentration camps were, you don't see majority ownership by Jews in those locations. So we have to understand that America is not our home. America is the home of our Holocaust. So when we look towards Africa and we utilize America as a springboard or a catalyst to get to our home, then we will have change.
Right.
And it takes education. It takes information. It doesn't take protesting. It doesn't take bullets, because God can stop a bullet easier than we can blink.
Right?
So that's something that I want to do. I want to build schools, and I want to set a goal for our growth.
Right.
And I think that's something that has been up in the air for us. A lot of black people talking about they want change, but they're not setting goals and deadlines for the actual change to take place.
Of course. Of course not.
I want to work with the NOI. I want to work with the Nation of Islam, and I want to create a million man donation, because
that's what's up.
Marching is gonna only create bunions on the feet. I don't think we need a million man march. I think we need a million man donation. So if you can get a million people at one time to donate $1 or $2, that's mobilizing money.
Right.
That's mobilizing money, and then once the money is mobilized, we can allocate that capital into institutions that are created for the advancement of black people. So we have to create the institutions first.
Right.
And we have to own those institutions.
You better own the land first.
Yes. And you have to educate and cultivate the mind of the future owners of those institutions, so they make sure those institutions uphold the interests of our people.
Amen. Amen. I want to ask you this question, you know, before we turn out. If you could go back and do anything different, anything that would gravitate to where you are now, would you change anything? Would you do anything different?
I don't even think like that. Okay. People ask questions like that. You know, I've learned, you know, keep the movies on the silver screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the reality is, we can't go back.
Right, right.
So what I've learned is, I've learned that God is in the second and the devil is in the minute.
Yeah.
God is in the second and the devil is in the minute. Meaning, with every second that goes by, it's a chance to turn your life around.
Right.
With every second that goes by, and the devil tries to use the past. See, the devil doesn't control the future or the present. The devil controls the past, because the past is gone. It's an illusion.
Amen.
So I've learned to be present, not worried about the future and not worry about the past, but be present. And in this present moment, I feel blessed. I feel happy. I feel love. I know that God is with me. I know God is speaking through me. So I know, like, I have to, I'm going to stay present. Mm-hmm. And I know whatever change that I want to make, I have to make it in this present moment. I can't worry about the past. You know, I can't, you can't spill milk on the floor and then put it in your cereal bowl.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I don't think about if I could go back. No, I think about what can I do right now in this present moment?
Right.
What can I do this second? How can I maintain this confidence, right? You know, because you don't charge your phone for one day and say I'm good for the year.
Right.
Right? You have to charge your cell phone every day. So how can I constantly maintain this vibration? How can I do things to continuously reinforce this focus, this passion, this dedication I have? So, you know, that's just where my head is at. And I believe that everything in life is for a reason.
Right.
Everything is testimony. So, God's plan is perfect. You cannot interrupt perfection. This nose is perfect. These eyes are perfect. This smile is perfect. My skin color is perfect. God does not make mistakes. Mm. I'm a beautiful, intelligent black man. And that was God's design. God designed me to be this way. God designed my life to turn out the way it turned out. God made my mother. And the combination, he made my father. Mm. And these things were this concoction of events got me to where I'm at right now. This is who I am. So I am perfect because God made me.
Amen.
And who am I to interrupt what God has created?
Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
You know? So I feel humbled. I feel, you know, that's why I cried earlier. It was weird because it was like, yo, what's going on? And, you know, the water just...
I tend to do that to people.
It wasn't you.
Let me tell you. I know. But guess what? The spirit happened to show up right in time.
I just reflected. You know, because sometimes we do things and we take it for granted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we sit here and we talk about our testimony. And I just reflected. I went back. I saw it. I went back to that moment. Right? I went back to that moment and I remembered. I was like, yo, God is real. And it broke me down and I had to cry because it was just like, yo, like, you know, when everybody that I thought was supposed to love me gave up, God didn't.
Right.
And it made me feel, and it made me feel special. It made me feel like, wow. So if man doesn't want me, but God does, what does that say about me? You know? So, man, you know, so, I just feel, you know, I feel blessed, I feel happy, and I want to tell everybody out there, tighten up your relationship with God.
Amen.
Tighten up your relationship with God, and stop looking for a man
to give you
what God is supposed to give.
Come on now.
Stop looking for a woman to give you.
Come on now. Tell them.
God is supposed to give you.
Tell them. Because they be looking for the wrong thing.
Right? So, because they need knowledge, right? They need knowledge, you know?
Right.
And when you understand how God works, you understand that you have $1 billion in your bank account, but prayer is the account number. You got $1 billion in your bank account, but prayer. Is that account number? Prayer is that PIN number. You can't get the money out because you're putting the wrong PIN number in.
Wow.
You're going to the wrong bank.
Well.
You know? So, you know, again, you know, this is, man, you know, thank you. You know, thank you. And this was...
Well, let people know where they can find you, because I know you're on YouTube. I know you're on... like I said, YouTube. Are you on Spotify? Is your music on Spotify? Let them know where they can relocate you. Besides Instagram.
I have a project called No Help, Just Hustle.
Okay.
It's on all platforms, Spotify, etc., etc. I have a song Smart Drug song. That's out now. It's on YouTube. You can Google that. My Instagram is thesmartguy_. My number is 917-385-3013. 917-385-3013.
You want people calling you?
1,000,000%. You know, I wish I had somebody I could call.
You know, all the time. You sure?
All the time.
Cause I'll bug the hell out of you.
Nah, you won't bug me. Listen, let me tell you the story. It's in the Quran, right? It's this God. He was Muslim. He prayed 5 times a day. He prayed 5 times a day. He fasted on the month of Ramadan, mm-hmm. right? And never stole, never lied, never did nothing. He was the first person to go to hell. The first person they threw him in, he went to hell.
Right.
And it was this lady. She was a prostitute. And she was walking, and she was walking home. And she seen a dog, like, thirsty, about to die. So she had walked, like, 2 miles home, filled her shoe up with water, walked 2 miles back to the dog, and gave the dog water, and the dog lived. And she went to heaven. The reason why the first guy went to hell is because he never gave nobody dawah. He never told nobody about God.
Right.
Religion is not a personal thing. We have to tell people about right. God. When God does good things for us, we have to tell people about
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Our actions will be the lawyers for our soul in God's court when we die.
Amen.
Our actions will be the lawyers for our soul when we in God's court. And the decision for us to go to heaven or hell will right. be on our deeds. So, yes, I want people to call me. If I can tell somebody about God, listen, give me the opportunity to do that.
Right. That's what's up.
You know, if I could tell you, stop worshiping money, stop thinking it's about big booties and stop and gang banging and killing each other. It's about God and pray.
Yeah.
You know, that I am a Muslim and, you know, and listening to the Quran has helped me.
Right.
And going to the masjid and fasting during the month of Ramadan has helped me. I'm not doing it. I'm going to say something.
Right.
You know? So, yes, you can call me. And every time you call me, the first thing I'm going to say is, make sure you pray today.
Did you pray today? Look, let me tell you, you better get your prayer on because he won't do it without the prayer.
You got to pray.
You got to pray.
Listen, because everybody, y'all got $1 billion.
The pin number is prayer. They don't want to open their mouth.
Yeah, you know, and you have to. You know, you have to. See, but we sensationalize everything, and they make everything about man.
Right.
You think Beyonce is going to get you to heaven. You think Jay-Z is going to get you to heaven. You think Michael Jordan, and you think Papa Smoke and all these people, and, you know, they're going to... No! Your relationship with God is what's going to get you to heaven.
Amen.
The things you do, the deeds you do, that's what matters. Okay? I'm already successful. See, people got this thing screwed up. They were, you do music. Oh, you know, I'm not trying to come up and become famous. Drake sold his soul. I'll tell you that. Every major artist you see, they sold their soul. When you see guys go like this, that means they're doing witchcraft. When you see guys go like this, This is 666. You see? The fingers represent a number. So you see my thumb? That's the six, right? So that's 1, 6, 2, 6, 3, 6s. So when you see these artists, all these signs, they're pushing the agenda of worshiping the devil and worshiping man, having heaven on earth. If you believe in God, then you know this life is like prison.
Right. Yeah.
And the next life is your heaven. We're not meant to have heaven on earth. This life is a test. So we got to do things right. It's not about worshiping man and trying to be famous and be idols. I'm already successful because I'm alive to talk about God.
Right.
I'm alive to talk about God. I'm not here to, let me be famous, listen to my record. No,
right.
I'm here to tell you, I make music because it helps me deal with my pain. But God is who you need to listen to.
Yeah. That's what's up.
You know, you put the iPad down for a little bit and pray and listen to God's voice.
Yeah.
That's the only music you should really be listening to, you know? So I had to understand that, you know, what benefit is the man to gain the world but lose his soul?
Mm.
A man is not supposed to be with a man. A woman is not supposed to be with a woman. Homosexuality is not nothing. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Gang banging, selling drugs, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. But when you live in this life and you up this world, mm-hmm. then you do things what man is doing.
Yeah.
But when you follow God, your circle gets smaller.
Real small.
You become
quick.
You become less popular, right?
Quick.
But how many souls are gonna be in hell?
Yeah.
You can see it now. God warned us. He said, man, don't be following these fools. Their bodies are gonna be logs for the fire in hell.
Hmm.
So we got to make sure that we live it right. And the only way to live right is to have a relationship with God, because God will always give you the destination to him when you ask him how to get to him. It's not about being Christian. It's not about being Muslim. It's about prayer, because church is not in the building. Okay? Church is not in the building. This is why you see all these pastors molesting boys and you think it's about the pastor, and you go into the church and you're paying tithes, but you walk past a homeless man holding his hand out. You feel more comfortable putting money in a collection plate, but you won't put that same dollar
in somebody else's
hand on the street. You might be the first one. You might be the first one going to hell because you put money in the pastor's pocket, but not in a homeless man's cup on the street. And that homeless man just might be an angel in disguise to test you. And on your day of judgment, that same homeless man is going to take that disguise off and show you who he was.
Right. Like, you let me walk right past you. You walk right past me.
You walk right on a Sunday.
You just got out of church. You just got out of church.
I get you, girl. And you walk right past him.
Right.
Won't even give him a quarter. And look, and you have $500 in your pocket. Oh, I just pay tithes. You know, you pay that to a man. When you pay zakat, it's not inside it's in the streets. It's when nobody's looking.
Mm-hmm. I was just telling a young person a couple days ago, Jesus walked this earth as an example. That's all you got to do is be the example. Y'all doing it backwards. You working it wrong.
Right.
You know, you're hustling backwards, you know?
Yeah, you know, exactly. And the only way to learn how to hustle right is to pray.
Come on now.
You got to ask God, right? You know, you got to see, and that's what people fail to realize. They go look up all these YouTube gurus, motivational speakers, and they go to everybody but God.
Yeah. You have a situation go on. Guess what the first thing people do is pick up the phone to tell somebody else what they got going on. They never go to the source. They never go to the source.
You look, you go to Donald Trump, you go to Joe Biden, you go to Obama, you go to all these people.
See, watch what happens.
Let me tell you something. Y'all gotta stop going to these pastors and these imams. Listen, look, and I'm Muslim. And so we go to Juma on Friday, right? Just because somebody is speaking about God does not make them God.
Right.
When you go to church on Sunday and the pastor is just to pass the message. That pastor is not above you. You're not less than that pastor. You're not supposed to be kissing the Pope hand and feeling so blessed that the pastor hug you. The pastor is nothing but a servant.
Right.
We are all slaves to God. So what happens is we deify people.
Yeah.
We make man God. So we don't get the full blessings from God because we're not going to God for the help we need.
Right.
You feel good like you did something. You went to church and you can't pray for me. You can pray with me.
Yeah.
We can both sit there and say, yo, God, help us. You can't pray for me. You can't put your hand on me. Yo, the spirit is my man. You can't that. Man, listen, don't touch me. Pray with me.
Right.
Don't pray for me.
Yeah.
Pray with me. And let's go out and ask God to bless us both. And I want to, not to be long-winded, but that's so important.
Right.
You know, you do not look to man. You know, I speak the way I speak because God gives me information.
Amen.
And don't look up to smart. Smart guy ain't smart. Smart is dumb. God is supreme intelligence. Okay? I'm nothing. I'm an idiot. I am an idiot. Okay? I've made so many mistakes in life. Who protected me when I didn't want to be protected? God. Who gave me this brain that I have inside this skull? God. Who gave me these eyes that I use to read and consume information? God. Who gave me these hands I use to lift weights to build this body? God. Who gave me these vocal cords to deliver these lyrics that people love? God. So who am I? Nothing. God is everything.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
And we gotta stop. And we gotta stop. We gotta stop thinking that we are gods. No. So when you go to church this Sunday, listen to the word. And not the voice the word is coming from. Mm-hmm. Focus on the word that you're hearing, not the face you see and deliver the word.
Amen.
Because you can make the mistake to think that this person is God. And some of these pastors swear they're Jesus. Listen, they talking like they walked on water. Yo, listen, when I was there, man, listen, you wasn't with Moses, you didn't know Jesus. No, stop it. I'm keeping it real. You know?
Well,
I'm keeping it real because I'm sick of this. Black churches make $33 billion a year, but them same churches don't invest nothing in our communities. These institutions, you know, all these churches, we got, and these mosques too. You got so many homeless people sleeping on the street. You got churches in Manhattan that take up 5 blocks, but you can't even sleep in there. They do nothing for the community.
Yeah. Why would they empty during COVID?
They do nothing for our community. That's why I want to build institutions that really helps blacks in their community. When you go to church on Sunday, is the church saying, you know what? This week, I want all the brothers to come together that do carpentry, that build, and we're gonna paint our neighborhood. I want all the brothers that are strong, that do security. Let's create our own security. Let's build up. They're not doing that. They're just talking and waiting to get you. They're talking to get your dollar. And then next Sunday come, it's no change. We got to set goals, and we have to hold ourselves accountable. But if you're following somebody, the question you should be asking that pastor or that imam, if you're Muslim and you're Christian, is what are the goals? What are we doing? We need to see change. It don't take long. If you go to the gym every day and you do sit-ups for 10 years, you're going to expect to have a six-pack.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
If you drink liquor, you expect to get drunk. So if I go to church and I sit there and you're telling me all this, where is the change?
Yeah, we need you to see it. Yeah.
We got to see it. And in order to see it, we got to set goals. So I'm telling you, sister, you got a voice too. You're powerful. It's the reason why you interview people and you're doing what you're doing. You got the podcast, right? We need to collaborate. We need to work together. We need to do. We have a responsibility and an opportunity Amen. To change the lives of black people in America and across the world right now.
Amen.
All we have to do is set the goal.
That's it.
And I'm up for it. So that's my piece.
You guys have heard it from the smart guy. He sounds like a little evangelist pastor. He got a lot of soul up and through him. Y'all have heard it from the smart guy. You guys check him out on Instagram, YouTube. You're not on Snapchat, are you?
Yeah, I'm on Snapchat. I'm on Snapchat. I think my...
Even guy, he was like, I think so.
I think my Snapchat is... Oh, man. Yo, Gita. He's probably doing something. My Snapchat is either the smart guy _ or CEO of Dot.
Okay.
It's one
okay.
of those.
Okay. That's what's up. So you guys check him out. Listen to his music. The Drug Song Official Audio on YouTube. This your girl, Virtuous Diva and Company. Thank you so much. You don't know. You just blessed my socks off. Don't tell nobody. But I am so grateful. I wish you all the best in all your endeavors. I pray that God that not only builds you, he continues to oversee and protect you and keep you guided by every step that you take. I ask that he just bring a source of forgiveness throughout you and your family. I pray that you just go to the moon and back, and that your voice be a pillar in the communities, and that you make a difference with your heart. I thank you guys. You guys have been blessed. This is your girl, Virtuous Diva and Company. Peace out. Oh, I'm so extra.